This is podcast number 2 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. I'm Marlene Peterson, and today I'll talk about the rotation schedule. Welcome back. I'm going to talk about the rotation schedule today, which is a way to help you organize learning in your home and still allow for that freedom to choose in the creative process of learning I talked about yesterday. In fact, if you haven't listened to the first podcast, I encourage you to take a few minutes to do that. It will help make today's podcast make a lot more sense. Yesterday, a mom posted an experience in our Facebook group that's a perfect illustration of what I was trying to say. It was perfect timing. She was inspired to start reading more classic literature, but was overwhelmed with where to start. So she went to a thrift store and picked up a couple of books off the shelf and decided to start with Charles Dickens' Great Expectations. Here's what she said. I was wondering what is the big deal during most of the book. I enjoyed reading it. I appreciated the interesting language, and overall it was more of a diversion than a huge learning experience. And then, by the very end, I was so touched by his homecoming, even when certain of his hopes were not as expected. His feeling of home was so deep and stayed with him through all of his trials and journeys, even though at the time of his childhood he seemed more tormented than loved. I cried and cried. I was just so touched. I want to build this feeling of home in my life and for my children. It's powerful and long-lasting. I was also touched on the way Pip measured his life in years or tens of years, when sometimes I am so caught up in what my kids are doing at the moment or for the day. It was a blessed lesson to me to mentally calm down and embrace and improve rather than be caught up in the race. I'm on the lookout for more lessons to put into my heart. How might this experience with the book be different if she had been given assignments of what to get out of the chapters or had to answer study questions at the end? In fact, the true impact of the book on this mom's heart cannot be expressed in words, and the impact will be different for each and every person who reads it. This is what I mean by bringing a child into a room and allowing the freedom to seek, ask, and knock, to assemble the clues until you see something for yourself that can be applied and used. When I talk about incorporating the rotation schedule in your home, I don't mean to imply that everything in your day needs to fit around this. It's just one part of the learning environment. There will be hobbies and music practice and chores and games and life. But it helps to bring a sense of order and rhythm to the learning going on. We are a very fact and information, test and measure culture, and I want to spend a few minutes now trying to get you to think along different lines. The tendency is to look at the rotation schedule through the eyes of accumulating facts and information, but I'm aiming for a much loftier purpose. I hope I can bring this vision to life so that you can see what I'm seeing. A couple of days ago in my scripture study, a phrase caught my attention. Here's the phrase. He was entangled in the vanities of the world. I copied it down. Entangled in the vanities of the world. When I want to get more insight into a word, I always turn to my 1828 Noah Webster's dictionary first. I love that book. Here's what I learned about the word vanity. It describes an emptiness, a want of substance to satisfy desire. Inflation of mind upon slight grounds. And here's the definition that really struck me. Fruitless desire or endeavor, trifling labor that produces no good. Looking back over my school years, I regret that much of my learning and time was entangled in the vanities of the world, or in other words, trifling labor that produced no good. So much of the busy work left me feeling empty, and it rarely connected to anything useful in my life. I hope your experience was different, but because of my experience, I'm always questioning why I do what I do. Will there be fruit to my labors? Have you taken the time to really look hard at what you want the outcome of your children's education to be? Are you just trying to get your child to test well so he can get into a good college and get a high-paying job? If that is what matters to you, then you may want to take a different path than what I'm about to lay out here, although nothing I promote would interfere with that. I know your kids need to know how to read and write and have a working knowledge of math, but I can tell you so many of the subjects we devote time to direct study, like spelling and grammar and vocabulary, will happen in a much more natural way as you engage in notebooking and other activities that we'll cover in the days ahead. I'll spend time in another podcast talking about satisfying testing requirements and doing the well-educated heart in the backdrop of the realities of the world we are living in. I had to smile, though. My daughter just moved from a state that requires testing for homeschoolers, and she panicked when she saw that her 8-year-old was 3 levels behind in some subjects. But then she took 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes, and caught her up. Sometimes it's just a silly game we have to play. I've told you before, what I've come to adopt as the purpose of education is to prepare children to live lives of maximum joy. I want to prepare them to live rich, abundant lives with all its variety of what that looks like. This is the loftier aim. I think of the scripture where Jesus taught, "Strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, what great things are in store for those who find it." There's no vanity or emptiness in this pursuit. Every teaching of Jesus is about how to be happy, how to not have just life, but that we might have it more abundantly. His whole focus was on building an inner kingdom, because he knew that out of the treasures of that inner kingdom, or the desires of our hearts, the outer kingdom would be built. But notice the risk. In spite of the fact that only a few would find it, he still simply invites us to seek, ask, and knock. There's no compulsion, no assignments. Rather, he surrounds us with clues. They're in nature. They're in the scriptures. They're in the words of inspired writers, the paintings of inspired artists, the music of inspired musicians, the lessons of history and of nations, and in people's lives. So, like the escape room I described yesterday, here is the room I find us gathered in. Let me give you the scenario as I see it. Long ago, a wise and benevolent king sent his children into a faraway land in search of the secrets of rich and abundant living. He told them that at a distant time in the future, he would gather them together to share the treasures of their findings with each other, that all may be made wiser, for he intended to establish his kingdom in that land. Our task is to find and assemble the clues and the lessons that we may learn the secrets and take part in the establishment of that kingdom. 2 words guide our study: understand and appreciate, which is really another way of saying love. I want each nation and people to have a chance to share their gifts and discoveries, to tell their stories. I would ask of them, what truths did you discover and apply? What have you taught us by your religion and its role in your lives, by your methods of education? What does your art, your stories, your lore and legends, your cultural celebrations reveal about the hearts of your people? What mistakes have you made we can learn from? Tell us about your leaders and your forms of government. Tell us about your noble sons and daughters and your wayward ones. Tell us what role your geographical gifts played in your history and how you overcame obstacles. I'm thinking of the Dutch holding back the ocean, or the Egyptians living by the rise of the Nile. Tell us of your victories and joys, and your sorrows and sufferings. None of this can be taught in a one-time drive-by. It will take years to gather clues, but in time, I begin to see why the French are who they are, the Russian, the North Korean. I understand the Muslim. I appreciate the devotion of the Buddhist. I'm richer for knowing them, and I love them. Remember that phrase, to know me is to love me? And then we have other rooms to spend time in to search for more secrets and lessons. We'll want to spend time in the stars room, the rocks room, the birds, the insects, and the flowers room. They too have lessons for the heart because nature is God's university, and there is no better way to get to know the Creator than through His creations. Would you rather spend time dissecting sentence structure, spelling words, identifying nouns and verbs, analyzing the use of writing devices, or allowing the solemnities of eternity to seek deeply into the hearts of your children? If we're looking for it, we'll see the teachings of Jesus and this straight and narrow gateway to life he talks of played out in the stories of nations and peoples. We'll see love work miracles and change lives. We'll watch hate and envy destroy. What happens when you bless those who despitefully use you, turn the other cheek, forgive someone who has wronged you? When you seek not your own, when you witness no greater love than this, that a man lays down his life for his friend, when a people learn the healer's art and lift the downtrodden and succor the weak, what happens when a society tends to the inner kingdom, when it seeks for that which is virtuous or lovely or of good report or praiseworthy? China has a wonderful story to tell us about that. Can one person letting his light shine really make a difference? History is filled with stories of the power and influence of the One. At first glance, you may have no idea what you're looking for. But as you begin to collect and assemble the clues, you will begin to see the patterns, connections, and lessons emerge for your use. We're going to have to spend time in many rooms looking for clues and revisit the rooms over and over again to pick up what we missed in earlier visits. Each nation and people has a story to tell and gifts to offer from its heritage. It will take time to understand and appreciate what those gifts are. To tackle this great understanding as a whole would be impossible, but by breaking the study down into nations, we can begin to unfold the secrets. This is the reasoning behind the rotation schedule. Each month, you will lead your children into a room and let them look around and start gathering clues from a nation's literature, art, songs, histories, biographies, scientific discoveries, landmarks, and cultural heritage. All the subjects are brought together under the umbrella of the study of a nation. In childhood, they may pick the imaginative tales of that land, the fairy tales and mythology. They may share in the celebrations of holidays, the enjoyment of their music and songs. An older child will begin to want to get to know some of the stories of the people in that land and will take interest in a study of events. A study of the great classic literature and poetry teaches much about a people. All ages can enjoy looking at the paintings and the architecture of the buildings, and in time, they will begin to see for themselves the lessons gifted from each nation. You've heard me say it before. This is the great day of the harvest. I believe it is the time designated by the king who sent his children into faraway lands to come together and share their lessons with each other. We are the generation chosen to gather that which has been learned and discovered by those who came before us into one great whole of knowledge and understanding. I'll link a copy of the rotation schedule in the podcast notes, or you can always find it on the resources page. There are two rotations going on throughout the year. The first one is around people through a study of nations, and the second is a study of nature, which is organized generally around the order of creation. The people rotation schedule is organized around America as the spine. Now, you may be from another country and be inclined to use your home country as the spine. Of course, you love your own country, and you want your children to love it. But let me explain why I think you may want to reconsider keeping America as the spine. There are many reasons why a study of America is worthwhile. As you look at how long it has taken for freedom to find a home, America, conceived in liberty, is the culmination of centuries of strivings of people everywhere. The story of freedom is the most important story that can be told, because only in freedom can we obtain our highest potential. America's story is the story of freedom. Already we see people trying to replace it with systems that have failed repeatedly throughout history. A study of nations will help your children see that. From America's earliest beginnings, the main facts were well established for us to study. There is no dim twilight of myth and legend, such as you find in the majority of other nations. We can see its growth unfold, line upon line, from simple huts to complete vast networks of cities, through a historical record that is complete, authentic, and reliable. And probably the most important reason to make America the spine of study is the fact that America's story is the combination of the stories of all nations. We are the children of England, of Scotland, China, France, Spain, India, Africa, each one weaving its heritage into the fabric we call America. Because of our roots, the study of America easily lends itself to the study of all nations. So here's how they are connected. America's history is divided into 10 chronological monthly studies, with months 11 and 12 left open for review and for revisiting favorite topics. Each of these monthly topics then tie into a nation or a geographic area. For instance, in month 1, when you study the early explorers like Columbus, it leads you into a study of China and India, because that's where he was trying to go. The Vikings came from Scandinavia, so we want to know their story. In month 2, when you study the pilgrims, you can visit Holland because that's where they sought refuge before coming to America. And in learning Holland's story, you'll see its similarity to America's story. Just as we freed ourselves from England and set up a republic, 200 years earlier, Holland fought to free itself from Spain's rule and set up a republic. So you'll want to know Spain's story too. In month 3, we are the colonies of the British, so we turn to a study of our mother country. Month 4 takes a look at George Washington, who is likened to the great Roman leader Cincinnatus, which leads us to a study of Rome, which cannot be separated from a study of Greece. In month 5, with the study of Lafayette, the young Frenchman who came to fight for liberty in our revolution, it leads us back to France. Month 6, the new nation of America is born, conceived in liberty, and built upon the rock of the teachings of the Bible, which leads us to a study of the Holy Land and the early Hebrews and their neighbors. Month 7 is for a study of the expanding American frontier and is tied into the study of the expansion of another world frontier under the teachings of Islam. The study of Lincoln and slavery in month 8 leads us back to Africa. Grant and Lee and the Civil War are the focus of month 9. Both Grant and Lee fought in the fight against Mexico, and so leads us into a study of Mexico and our neighbors down south in South America. Month 10 brings us a study of World War I and leads us to look at Russia and Germany. It will take time to learn and apply the lessons, a lifetime, really. When you see your child walk across the stage in cap and gown, it's not called a conclusion ceremony. It's called a commencement. This is the commencement of life. But I also think of it as a commencement to a lifetime of learning of which you have but laid a foundation and opened a desire. Remember the thrill when seemingly unrelated things suddenly start clicking and connecting and taking life? It will happen. If you don't interfere with the process, and if you are a fellow traveler on the journey, delighting in your own discoveries and sharing them, all with the purpose of helping your children discover the rules for happy living, individually and as societies. You may still wonder what those lessons for the heart look like that I'm talking about. Sharing the lessons from nature and the nations of the world will be the focus of the podcast starting in September. As we tend to the inner kingdom of our children's hearts, it will be from the treasures there that they will begin to build a new world. Now, you may be saying, great, I'm on board. Now, how do I do it? Well, I think you know what I'm going to say. This is your moment to seek for clues and apply the principles you are learning about the creative process of learning. To tell you exactly what to do would be to rob you of the joys of that creative process and would deny you that aha moment when you see for yourself. It will look different in your home than in another home. and that King who has sent us here to seek is standing by, waiting for you to ask him for clues. Keep in mind, what we are attempting to do here has never been done before. Are you courageous enough to blaze new trails? I know this is the stuff of dreams, a world without hate, a world of beauty and love and peace. My mind says it cannot be done, but my heart says, why not? If mothers will rise and take their place as the nurturer of the heart of the next generation, in partnership with God, the King who has intended this all along, why can we not believe it will happen? In the next podcast, I'll take you on a visual tour of the resources I've gathered for you to use. As always, you can learn more at welleducatedheart.com. And now I'd like to leave you with a poem written by Louisa May Alcott, who gave us that wonderful classic, Little Women. Here's the poem. A little kingdom I possess, where thoughts and feelings dwell, and very hard I find the task of governing it well, for passions tempts and troubles me, a wayward will misleads, and selfishness its shadow casts on all my will and deeds. How can I learn to rule myself, to be the child I should be, honest and brave, nor ever tire of trying to be good? How can I keep a sunny soul to shine along life's way? How can I tune my little heart to sweetly sing all day? Dear Father, help me with the love that casteth out my fear. Teach me to lean on Thee and feel that Thou art very near, that no temptation is unseen, no childish grief too small, since Thou, with patience infinite, dost soothe and comfort all. I do not ask for any crown but that which all may win, nor try to conquer any world except the one within. Be Thou my guide until I find, led by a tender hand, Thy happy kingdom in myself, and dare to take command. Bye-bye, see you next time.